today, even if you're off tomorrow. You probably have something planned, and I know it's going to be busy, and I'm very grateful to you and proud of you for taking time out of the busyness to go to God's Word and receive from it tonight. Praise the Lord. In His Word, there are answers for all the complexities of life, including those broken places where it seems like that you're in a dark place where there is no answer. And I encourage people to get in the Word of God and to get the Word of God into them tonight. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's lifting up in Jesus. I want you to turn back with me to our foundational scripture, because each one of these discs may be heard separately. And I want the foundational scripture in Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. To be the springboard for going further in our study of having the Holy Spirit with us as our battle partner. Everybody say our battle partner. The word paraclete is indeed a word that is used for one who stands in behalf of another. It would be at home and justifiably biblically to say that he is like a barrister. He is like a lawyer. He's like someone who represents us. Actually, it's a forensic term in that sense, in the legal sense. But in the spiritual battles of life, he is one who comes alongside to not just strengthen us, but literally to fight with us and for us in that battle. Paraclete is a word, as we said before, that's also used, and we'll mention that maybe a little deeper in this study, of the Greek soldiers who fought hand-to-hand combat. And they fought just as a big group moving forward. They fought with a battle partner. I just saw today, and if you get a chance to watch it on WEDU Channel 3, because Memorial Day is tomorrow, to honor the military men and women who have died and given the supreme sacrifice so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy not only here tonight, but in this wonderful nation called America. With all of her problems, God still loves America. And God Bless America should be a part of our prayer life. But we should understand that blessing can only come as people repent. And it doesn't begin with the world out there. Amen. It begins with the church. And it begins with Christians. And it begins with preachers. And it begins in pulpits. That's where it begins. Judgment begins here, not there. Amen. So if there's judgment out there, then God says, I'm holding the accountability primarily here. And that's another message, but we will deal with that at a later time. Amen. But I saw these Medal of Honor winners, and it was incredible that for years they didn't honor anyone of color, no matter what kind of courage they showed. But you would be encouraged by that tonight, to see finally, amen, when they became aware it's not about your color, it's about your courage. And the courage in battle crosses listen, there wasn't prejudice in the foxholes. There might be back here in the States in the schools and universities and churches, but not in a foxhole. When you get in a foxhole, the one man with tears running down his cheeks, a veteran, that Medal of Honor winner from one of those wars, he said, when it comes right down to it, when you're fighting, after a while, it is not even your patriotism that caused you to join the military. When you're in the midst of a firefight and your life is on the line and your brother's life, there's a camaraderie when you get into those kind of battles like no one can possibly understand, except we should as Christians, because we're in a battle together ourselves. Can you say amen? And we should have that same kind of militant military attitude toward winning this battle. But he said, in the midst of the battle, it's not about your country anymore. It's about the person to the right of you and the person to the left of you. And to see what these men did and put their life on the line to help their fellow soldier was just absolutely incredible. And all of these terms coming from those actual military battlefields are applied to you and me in the battles that we fight spiritually. The Bible said, for instance, no man that warreth, and everyone in here is involved in a war. Jesus said, if you think I've come to send peace on the earth by my coming, you better think again. Take another look at this. I came to bring peace with God, but not yet peace on earth. We can sing peace on earth all we want. Till the king returns, there will never be peace on this planet. In fact, his coming to this world is still causing battles to ensue between light and darkness. Can you say amen? He set in motion a mighty battle, and it's ensuing, and we're all caught up in that. Amen. Every one of us feel it from time to time. Sometimes we're not aware of it, but it exists. It's very real. I don't want you to get discouraged because there's victory in Jesus tonight. But I want you to understand the battle is part of a living in a fallen world till Jesus comes. We have an enemy. Amen. And we have to fight the good fight of faith to win these battles. Let me just identify the battlegrounds real quick before we read that scripture. May read it at the end. But the battleground begins with the flesh. Amen. Every person in this room is going to have a battle with the flesh until the day Jesus comes and you're changed, or the day that you give up the ghost. Until then, you're going to have a battle with the flesh. Amen. There's a law. A law. Once you're born again, born of the Spirit, your spirit has been made alive in Christ. Amen. Your flesh and spirit come in direct, distinct conflict. And that conflict goes on and on. In order to obey God, you have to overcome the flesh to do it. Because he's going to tell you to love an enemy. And your flesh is not going to say, you know, I really don't like the way I feel about this person. I'll tell you, your flesh not only likes it, your flesh loves it, indulges itself in bitterness and vindictiveness and vengeance. And when you hear that your enemy has had issues, and it's hard for me. If someone has been real mean to me and then they get into real trouble, it's hard for me not to just kind of rejoice a little bit and say, boy, yeah, tell me more about how bad they got it. Because, boy, they've hurt me and now they're hurting, and there's justice. There is a God. No, there is a God, but not because he's doing something to vindicate me. Amen. Unless I'm staying innocent and pure in my heart. Listen to me carefully. You've got to overcome the flesh. Amen. The Bible said you can't follow Jesus unless you deny yourself. Amen. That means crucifying the flesh, mortifying our members which are upon the earth. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. What happens? And walking in the Spirit means walking in a life of obedience to the Word of God and listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Did you know when you get real mad and want to sock somebody, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you no? Then you say amen. When you get an attitude and you want to let bitterness fester within and justify it, the Holy Spirit said there is no way to justify that. And in order to walk in the Spirit, it doesn't mean... When I first heard that, I thought it meant to get up in some revelationary realm with God. I am up here so far above the earth. Amen. I'm walking in the Spirit. I don't feel the things that normal human beings feel anymore. Amen. I'm above anger. I'm above jealousy. I'm above envy. I'm so far above pride. I'm so proud of myself for being delivered from pride. Can you say amen? That's silly. You don't get ever above it. You have to crucify the flesh. You don't get above it. You don't conform it. You have to kill it. After a service, somebody came up to me one night back at the Holy Church of God in Silver Springs, and after one of those powerful challenge services, amen, someone came up to me and said, Brother Venable, I know what to do now to have victory. I said, wonderful. He said, yes, I'm going right home and kill myself. Not literally, and I guess there is, you can't do that. But what he was talking about was, I'm going to start living my life according to the Word of God and listening to the promptings of the Spirit of God instead of letting my flesh continually rule and reign and dominate over me. You're at war. Paul said there is a war going on within me after I've become a Christian. The Spirit wars, is at war. I want you to know your spirit that's reborn ought to declare war on your flesh. We ought to fight it like it was a great enemy that we must defeat to have victory. Most people would rather paste stuff on their refrigerator and confess it every day than to get rid of the anger and to get rid of the jealousy and to get into forgiveness. What about forgiveness? Bible said when you stand praying, see, we make it a faith issue or a financial issue. We don't get down to the deeper issues of the heart. Christ said, how many believe Jesus' teaching ought to be interjected somewhere in all of this victory talk? How many believe what Jesus said ought to be interjected? And I don't mean just some of the things he said, but everything he said. Well, here's what he said. No matter how much how you build your faith, When you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive. Don't even try to use your faith until you forgive. Hello? Is that what he said? Jesus said that. Everybody say, Jesus said that. How many believe he meant it? Well, wait till you hear the rest of it, because it's not a suggestion, or I wish you would. He said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody for any reason. Because if you don't forgive men their trespasses, the Father will not forgive you yours. Amen. Even though Christ has went to the cross, shed his blood for your forgiveness. You can't take that gift from him and refuse to give it to others. Amen. And have him continually just coddle you. He said, for if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. And in the model prayer, they said, teach us to pray. He said, pray like this. And part of it is, Father, forgive us our debts or our trespasses. Even what? As it's contingent, isn't it? Even as we forgive those who trespass against us. Most people want to circumvent that and not deal with these deeper issues of the heart and go straight into faith and just believe God and get everything we need in prayer. God says there's more to this than just believing me. There's obeying me from the heart. God requires obedience, not just faith. In fact, true biblical faith involves obedience. It's not just a force. I hate to hear. And I literally mean that. I'm not going to soften this. I hate to hear faith preached as a spiritual force. Every time I hear the word force within, I think of Star Wars. Amen? I think of that little froggy-looking man called Yoda. My dad's Chihuahua looks like him. If that Chihuahua was green, we could sign a contract and make another Star Wars movie without a puppet either. The dog is fat enough, and its ears are just like Yoda's. And here we hear these people prancing around talking about faith, 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 never talking about faithfulness and fidelity and obedience to God. And yet the Bible said we got a battle going on with the flesh. And God wants you to know that you're not in this battle alone. The Holy Spirit has been given to you and given to me so that we can win this battle. But you can't win it with your will alone without God's help. How many has ever willed to be the person God called you to be and be loving and forgiving and not get angry and not blow your top? How many has ever willed that? How many has ever got angry and blew your top? Since you will that. We need, come on, time for honesty tonight. We don't want the altar call just yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it always makes me feel about that tall when I lose it. When I lose it because I get up every morning with my mind set, today I'm going to follow the Lord in everything. Amen. And I get busy and I get fatigued and I get tired. And you know what? I was glad for 12 years, Brother Terry, I wasn't living in clergy world. I was living out there with everybody else. Amen. And I got out on that job, and there are people that I believe, amen, were emissaries from Satan sent to buffet me. They made it their business to push all of my buttons. And I thought I had overcome it. And one night, I remember, I didn't curse. I didn't hit anybody. Amen. But there were some big gray tubs that we put bottles that didn't turn out right in to take them to be reground. These huge, they're big gray tubs. They're just big plastic tubs. You can't hurt them. Amen. But I remember one night, it just got to the point. I remember the guy I was working in the room with. He's a young man, about 35 years old, and heard him scream like a little girl. Everything went wrong so bad, I heard him go, ah! And I thought, this is a grown man screaming in a high pitch. And I thought, Lord, I'm glad I've got victory. I'm glad I got Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that I got it together. And there came a night, and I don't want to go through what led up to this. I'm going to just tell you I didn't see it coming, but it got so bad. I walked up to those two tubs, and I kicked that one over with that foot, and it went over. And I walked up to the other, and I kicked it over with that foot, and I saw somebody looking at me. The preacher done lost it. I didn't curse nobody, didn't hit nobody, but I got a hold of them tubs, praise God. I kicked them tubs over. And you know what? I was so disappointed because I'm supposed to be, you know, even-tempered. You know, the president has even got upset a few times lately. It's getting to him. His hair's turning gray. I don't know if you notice, there's more gray hairs. Amen. Come on, he's in the hot spot. He's in hot water. He's in bull. Pray for kings, those that are in authority. Amen. He's finding out. He visited Billy Graham not too long ago. And they sat and talked about the loneliness of being the person that is held accountable, responsible for everything to everyone. And they had prayer together. Amen. Actually, they prayed for one another, and I was glad to hear that. Amen. I don't know where he's coming from. I don't know where he's headed. I don't know if he cares if he's elected again. But when he first got elected, he was so even in all of his answers, and you never saw him upset or show any emotion. They called him No Drama Obama. But that's beginning to change. There's going to be some drama with Obama, just like there was drama with me. And I was so disappointed. And then when I would try to apologize, people were so understanding. They said, because they know what was causing all of this. And they said, but Rev, you're only human. I said, I know. I acknowledge my humanity, but I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I want to do better. And I'm sorry you saw me kick the tubs over. I wish nobody was looking. Then all I'd have to do is apologize to the Lord. Can you say amen? But yes, I kicked them over. And yes, I picked them up. Set, and no, I didn't hurt company property, because you can't hurt them big rubber tubs. They can hurt you, but you can't hurt them. Amen. But don't it make you feel about that tall when you've been going so good and you've been, and then all of a sudden you realize, you know, this war doesn't end somewhere at some supreme state of super sanctification. This is an ongoing thing. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, I sanctify myself daily. I do not fight as one that beateth the air, but I buffet my body and I bring it under subjection. Can you say amen? Amen? If you don't bring it under subjection, let me tell you something about your flesh. It will not obey God on its own. It's got to be forced. In fact, it's not really forced into obedience. It's forced into death so you can obey. God has called us to win this battle by dying in this battle to self. Amen? And to sin. Scripture we don't really like to hear because the word suffer is in it. But yet Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And if your flesh doesn't suffer, you will never follow Jesus in obedience. It's impossible. Jesus couldn't obey the Father without dealing with that flesh. When he came into this world, he had to deal, amen, with that fallen nature, because his body and that was transferred from Eve was part of the fall. Do you realize Jesus had to not do his will, but what the Father will? And he had to subject himself and surrender himself to that. He never sinned, not one time, but he was tempted. And I'm so glad that's in there. I'm so glad when I'm tempted, I have a God that under... He was tempted in how many points? All points. I'm going to explain that to you some night, because there's only three avenues by which Satan can come to you. There's thousands of sins that can happen. But are you interested in hearing that? There's three, only three in the Bible. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the all that is in the world. There's three great doors that opens you up to satanic temptation and oppression and deception and all that goes with it. And there may be a million sins that can come to you, but there's only three doors. And if you lock these three doors, when Jesus went into the wilderness, Satan appealed. He showed him the kingdoms of this world and appealed to the lust of his eyes. Amen. He was so hungry, he could have eaten shoe leather. And what did Satan come? The lust of the flesh. What did he come and say? Command these stones to be made bread, and you can have all, you can satisfy, amen, the cry of your flesh. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Can you say amen? Then he took him up on a pinnacle and told him, jump off the pride of life. Amen. Listen to me. Angels will bear you up and you can prove who you really are. And Jesus wouldn't fall for it. Amen. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. If he'd given in to any of those gates, he would open himself up for all the other things that Satan will do in a life. Satan, Jesus was never tempted, amen, to molest a child. He does not, he didn't, he was holy, but I'm going to tell you something. He was tempted to turn the stones to bread. He was tempted, amen, to jump off of that pinnacle and prove who he was. He was tempted in those three gates, and the Bible said, all that is in the world, everything that creates all the rest of the sin comes through three gates. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All these pass away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Can you say amen? Jesus triumphed by using the word of God and his commitment to obey it. It's not enough to quote it. Satan will laugh in your face unless he sees a heart that is set on a willingness to obey. Are you going to be perfect in obedience? No. Only one person walked it out perfectly. And anyone that thinks you can achieve that, or anyone else can, 1 John says, if we as Christians say we have no sin, we're liars. We're not telling the truth, but if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it did me good that night to confess, Father, I know, it's not just this. I mean, what if, you know, Lord, I don't want to kick over tubs. I want to show people there's power, there's grace, there's peace in you. I don't want to let it get to me, because if this can get to me, other things are going to get to me. And I don't like the devil getting to me. Be angry and sin not. It didn't say don't get angry, because that's impossible. You say, well, nothing is impossible with God. Yeah, but we're talking about you and me here. Not talking about God. We're talking about you and me. You can't live with an emotional part of your being and never feel angry. You can not let it lead you to sin. Can you say amen? And you can deal with it immediately. Don't coddle it. Don't pet it. The Bible said don't let the sun go down. That's not 24 hours. That's 12. Less than that if you get mad at noon. Can you say amen? What he's saying is you don't go to bed at night mad at nobody. Your husband, your wife, your boss, your job, your company, your enemy. You don't go to bed at night angry at anybody. Because when you get down to talk to God, if you have aught against him, forgive. When you stand to pray, if you have aught against any, forgive. Can you say amen? In order to do that, I have to crucify my flesh. So 1 Peter really kicks in this war with the flesh. You got a battle partner. What I'm wanting to tell you tonight, the Holy Spirit was given to help you win these battles. Because God understands. I love what it says in the book of Psalms about David. David said, you have pity upon me, you have mercy upon me, because you know that I am but flesh. The reason God listened to him when he cried out after all of his mistakes and mess ups, he said the reason he has mercy is because he understands my frame. He said on another occasion, you know I am but dust. Without you, I can't overcome. Without your help, I can't make it. He said, I'll get discouraged so easily. It won't just be the temptations and the other things I do to cover up for that, but my own discouragement will overwhelm me. And he says, God, I need you to help me win this battle. I don't have the strength of character to win it in myself and by myself. So when my heart is overwhelmed within me, Lord, you lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a refuge for me and a hiding place for my enemies. Can you say amen? A shelter and a hiding place and a high tower. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus, but we've got to have God's help. And he sent us one called alongside to help. Hallelujah. I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will give you another comforter, which literally means in the Greek, one like myself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Peter, Satan desired to have you. He may sift you as the wheat. I prayed for you that your strength fail not, and when your faith fail not, and when you are faith in yourself, faith in that force that you have built up, no, faith in the one who's standing up to intercede, praise God, and faith in His provision. It's not by might, it's not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The mountain that we can't move will move. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read this scripture real quick. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such that were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power. But they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Amen. Hopeless, helpless. All the power belong to the ones doing the oppressing. No power was available to those that were oppressed. And he used the word, because there was no power available, he said, there's no comfort. They're not comforted. Go over to Darfur and you see all those mamas carrying a baby that's dying in her arms with breasts that have dried up, that have no milk to give and no food to find. And you see rich leaders of nations living in lavishness. It happened when we went down into Haiti. We saw that it was hard to help those people because so many people were skimming, amen, from the top and barely anything trickling down. I sat with two of the representatives of World Vision, helping people and digging wells for people, and in a prayer breakfast with other ministers. And I said, I'm glad to hear what you just said, because World Vision said this. The World Vision representatives, one of them was a pastor's wife and working with World Vision. And she said, you know, the thing about World Vision is that the 90 cents out of every dollar goes to help the poor and people that are oppressed, and to put a well where there's no water, and with it to literally express God's love to people. But I remember when Lorne Green was the major spokesman for one of these world help organizations that people gave to a charitable organization. And when it finally came to light, 90% out of every dollar went to administrative costs. In other words, the people who ran it and the people who worked in it, amen, were getting 90% out of every dollar. And one dime would go to that person you saw on the television set. And Lorne Green came back on television back in my day. And he apologized for representing them because he didn't know how it was being dispersed. Amen. And he had appealed to people to be gracious. And God's people are gracious people and giving people. That's why the beggar man was sitting, not outside, amen, some great bank, amen, begging. He was sitting at the gate, beautiful, because he knew this is Christians are on their way to the temple to worship. Can you say amen? And Christians will help me when nobody else will. We can also be duped and taken advantage of easier than other people because of that. But let's keep giving anyway. I'm going to tell you, if I give to something and find out it's corrupt somewhere, God will bless me because my heart was pure when I gave. Now, if I keep giving knowing it's bad, that the blessing's going to stop. But somebody misusing what I've given in good faith is not going to disqualify me from the blessing. Aren't you glad God's that kind of good God tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. But Lorne Green come out and said, I've been chagrined. I've been used. I would have never endorsed anything. That most of the money went to run the big overburdened organization, and only a dime out of a dollar went to the people that needed the help. In Haiti, not even a dime out of the dollar trickled down to the people that needed the help. U.S. has been giving aid to Haiti for years and years, and yet it's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. And it'll tear your heart out to see the sweetness of those people. If you think it's all voodoo and all people deserve this, you've never been there and got involved with those people. Some of the sweetest people I've ever met are in Haiti tonight. And some of the most respectful, loving, God-fearing, worshiping kids that I have ever run across, amen, is there in Haiti. Benny swallowed the nail. every now and then rings in my ears. And when I see 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds with tears running down their cheeks while they sing songs of praise to God, amen, that impresses me, because 8 and 9-year-olds in our Sunday school systems are not tearing up about Jesus. And when I hear a 12-year-old girl talking in tongues, and I'm not talking about French Creole either, I'm talking about in the middle of a praise song worshiping God. Amen. I see a lot of 12-year-old in Sunday school classes here in America wanting to look like somebody on television. Amen. Whose goal is to be accepted by their peers rather than to love the Lord. I remember a pastor lamenting on Channel 22, pastor of a church down in St. Petersburg. And he said a young lady came in, and she was, I think, 19 years old, and she was involved with a man, and they were living together, and they had got her to come to counseling. The pastor said he'd sit down, and he told this on television, and he said he sat down with her, and he told her that, are you a Christian? Yes. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Oh, yes. I've been baptized in water, accepted Jesus as my Savior. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God, laying a foundation for the counseling? Yes, absolutely. So I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that I've believed on Christ, and He's now my personal Savior. I've been baptized in water. I'm a member of this church. I've been in the Sunday school department all the way up from childhood. He says, well, what you're doing is sin. Can't live with this guy out of wedlock. It's sin. And says, she looked at him and says, you can't be serious. I thought Sunday school, church, Christianity. But if you go against the culture and what it says is okay, we can't be serious sticking with the book and loving God enough to obey Him instead of following them. The culture war will keep being won over the Christian church until Christians get enough devotion to Jesus that we stand apart. A man tried to whip Franklin Graham because after a service, they came upon, a lot of people had come there, and people had kind of camped out for this outdoor meeting. And they came by this little camper trailer thing, and there was a young lady that had just received Jesus as her Savior. And she came running up, and they stopped the car. She said, wait, I got to ask you a question. She said, I've been living with my boyfriend for a year. Is that wrong? Because now she had that new heart. If you get the new heart, you care about what's right. You care about what God says is wrong. You want to be right with God. Everybody say, you want to be right with God. She wanted to be right with God, so she asked a legitimate question. I believe it's the duty, the responsibility. We have to, if we're going to lead God's people, we've got to tell them what God said about everything. Can you say, man, we can't, for fear of upsetting the culture around us, we have no obligation to the culture except to tell them they need Jesus. Can you, and to live a life and to love them, but not to compromise with them. The feel-good gospel is damning souls. I will not coddle it, and I will not, in the name of love, amen, not stand up and declare the truth tonight. Thank God Franklin Graham told her, says, if you're living in sin if you live like that. You're a Christian now. God says, flee fornication. And her boyfriend was back there listening to this, and he wanted to drag Franklin Graham out of the car and whip him because he was having a grand old time. And he was not about to devote or commit. You know, there's a simple solution to these things. Amen? Come to Christ. Get married. Live righteously. Hallelujah. But the world doesn't care about righteousness. But if you really get born again, you start caring. And the young woman had tears in her eyes. He said the last thing he saw was her packing her bags. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Praise God. You've got to pack your bags and leave the world if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen to the truth of God tonight. All right. The Bible said Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. When you take up your cross, that means you're denying your flesh. You deny yourself in order to do that. You take up the cross, by the way, it's not the persecutions that's talking about. Amen. If you got the poor old me's because you're being persecuted, you got the poor old me's, and me is the problem, not the persecutors or the persecution. It's me wanting to be accepted, me wanting everybody to love me, me wanting everybody to pat me on my back. Sounds like too much me in that. Can you say amen? What is it? I had a tea party at 3 for I, myself, and me. I ate the cake, I poured the tea, and I passed whatever else there was to me. Can you say amen? Had my own little tea party for 3, I, myself, and me. Can you say amen? Persecution and belly aching because somebody at the job called you a holy roller or a Christian or some name. Honey, that's just you that's still so much alive. You desire and have to have the world accept you. Listen, when you put yourself on the cross, you don't care whether the world accepts you or doesn't accept you. In fact, when they cast your name out as evil for following Jesus, what do? Get a case of the poor old me's? No, you rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because where it really matters, you're looking. Amen. For great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. When you get home, you're going to be so glad that you're identified with Him instead of them. Can you say amen? It's a real war with the flesh. And Paul got so discouraged in that fight, he said, if I don't have help, I can't win it. Oh, wretched man that I am. When I would do good, evil pops up. Used to be a song about a man doing good and then up jumped the devil. Honey, it's not just the devil jumping up. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. The devil would rather you just take authority over him than take authority over yourself. Literally, to give God authority over you. So, remember back in the day when people let themselves off the hook for the flesh by blaming everything on the devil? Everything was blamed on the devil. I mean, the only theology that fits with is Flip Wilson and what was it? What's the preacher's name? Pastor? I don't know. Anyway, that's back in the day. But we all know about Geraldine. Amen? We remember Geraldine, don't we? Who made him do everything he did wrong? Or she, the persona he was playing. Who made him do that? The devil did. I'm off the hook. See, some people would rather have hands laid on to have a spirit of something cast out of them. Listen, and boy, pastors really need discerning of spirits, because some people need to deal with their flesh. And some people don't want to deal with their flesh, so they'd rather, amen, try to blame it on the devil. Some people would rather acknowledge that the devil can come in and override Jesus, and all they need to do is not get down to business with God, amen, just have someone cast that spirit out of them. Isn't that incredible, wasn't it? That's so crazy. We had a guy that was capitalizing on people not wanting to deal with the flesh, blaming everything on a demon spirit. Everything is not the devil. In fact, when temptation comes, every man is tempted. Listen, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, the book of James says, when he's led away of what? His own lust and enticed. The devil don't make nobody do anything. Boy, I get fighting mad. I want to kick over tubs and TVs. When I hear, but not the, you know, I'd rather kick the tub over than the TV because I paid too much for it. Amen. But I want to kick it over sometime. When I hear someone saying, oh, brother so-and-so was doing so wonderful, had such a vast ministry. That's why the devil had him go to that motel and the devil got him. That's why the devil, it wasn't his responsibility. Can you say, man? He couldn't possibly overcome the devil once the devil decided he was too influential. Amen. When he brought that woman across his path, he just couldn't say no. Honey, there's preachers every day saying no. There's Christians every day saying no. Can you say, man? Anybody, no matter what your influence is, can say no to sin and yes to God. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is given. He's called alongside to help us. Hallelujah. And He's mightier than the one that's against us. He's a wonderful battle partner. But the thing that He can't do for you make you do anything against your will. God won't force your will. So the Bible said, in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1 in closing tonight, and we're head for a close anyway. See how close we can get to it. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Everybody say in the flesh. Now, this is not hanging on a cross for your salvation as a sacrifice. This is the garden where the conflict of wills come into play. What did Jesus say in the garden? If there's any way, other way to save man, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. Who am I that a king would say, not my will, but thine? Can you say, man? And what was happening in the garden? The Bible said the pressure of that conflict was so great that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Amen? And by the way, Jesus didn't use his divinity to overcome in his earthly walk. If he had, he couldn't ask any of us to walk as he did. He couldn't experience temptation like we do. And yet the Bible said clearly that he was tempted like we are. He understands our frame. He knows how to help us. He sent one whose specific purpose as the paraclete is to stand with us back to back in battle. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. And he said, not my will but thine, for and his sweat became as great drops of blood, and his soul, there was a real battle going on because his soul became sorrowful even unto death. And he even asked for human beings. That's how I know he didn't use any of his divinity. He said, Peter, pray with me. Stay right here. I've got to do this alone, but I need your intercession, and I need it now. Thank God Jesus felt that. Jesus needed that. That's why when I come to him, he can embrace me and truly help me, because he knows exactly where I'm coming from, exactly what I'm experiencing, exactly what I need, and exactly how to help me. Thank God God took on flesh. God had never experienced that before. He knows everything in his universal knowledge, but in his personal experience, he had never been a man before. Jesus wasn't flesh and blood in heaven. He took on flesh when he came to earth. Can you say amen? So if you picture Jesus with a beard sitting up there beside a throne with a great God. No, Jesus was part and parcel of the Godhead, but he took on flesh, incarnate, God taking on flesh. But when he took on flesh, he said, you know, I'm not sitting on my throne in heaven anymore. Amen. Telling you what to do. Amen. I have come down and walked as you walk. I understand you. Amen. I want to know you personally, intimately. I want to become one of you so that I can save you on the cross and so that I can help you through life. I don't have a high priest that can't be touched. Hallelujah. We don't have just God that says, suck it up. We have a God that says, come to me, ye that labor and are heavy laden. Hallelujah! And I will give you rest. Praise God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your soul. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We used to sing the song, I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel his presence near me every day. Though trouble overtake me along life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. Glory be to God. I'm going to make it because I have somebody with me. I can take it because I have somebody with me. When Paul said, I can do all things, he didn't talk about the force of faith, but he said, Jesus is with me. Through Christ who strengtheneth me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My faith can be shaken, but he's with me. Hallelujah. David said, my God is a shield for me. He's my glory. The only one that keeps me from being discouraged to the point of defeat, he's the lifter of my head. I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He didn't look within to his faith. He projected his faith to his God. Amen. Hallelujah. And my help comes from where? My ability to believe no matter what's happening. No, my God who I know is faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, everybody say, not my will but thine. Every time we do that, the flesh suffers defeat. The flesh doesn't get its way. Amen. So for as much as Christ has suffered for us, and he did it, it began in that garden before he ever got to the cross. The saving act was on that cross. But this, not my will but thine, was in the garden. And he needed somebody to stand with him so bad, he come back and Peter had fallen asleep. And he said, couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour? If he'd used his divinity in that garden, he wouldn't need nobody because God is self-sufficient. He said, if I was hungry to ancient Israel, I wouldn't tell you. If you think these sacrifices are meeting a need in me, you're very wrong. I don't need you. You need me. But Peter, Jesus needed fellowship in prayer because he became flesh. He felt what we feel. And he fought with weapons that we can use. Amen? What happened when he was baptized? Amen? When he was baptized and came up out of the water, the Father said to the Son, confirmed him, said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And who came to rest on him and took the form of a dove? The Holy Spirit took the form of a dove and rested on him. And the Bible said God anointed Jesus. Listen, if he used his divinity, amen, God didn't have to anoint him with anything. God doesn't need an anointing. Who's going to anoint God? Amen? But God anointed him, didn't he? What did he anoint him with? Or who? With the Holy Ghost. And with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's where I wanted to bring this tonight before we close. The paradigm of power has shifted after Jesus came. Satan had it till Jesus took the keys from him. Can you say amen? Satan had it till Jesus triumphed over him. Satan was the god of this world, but Jesus came and defeated him at the cross for all those who would believe. And the paradigm of power has shifted. Hallelujah! There's power to live an overcoming life tonight. There's power to get victory over the flesh tonight. If he has our devotion, he can give us victory. Arm yourself with the same mind. What mind? Not my will, but thy will be done. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. What happened when he did that? In one of the Gospels it said an angel came and ministered to him. What does that mean? It means when you decide to follow God and not your own will and way, no matter how weak you are, all heaven's resources will line up to give you victory. And I can do then all things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. Praise God. Hallelujah. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Does that mean you'll never make a mistake? No, it means sin won't have the sway. Sin won't have the rule. Sin won't have the reign anymore. Can you say, man, the paradigm of power shifts, praise God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Somebody shout amen tonight. Hallelujah. Let me finish that scripture. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Everybody say, not my will, but thine be done. Do you see it tonight? Where did he suffer in the flesh like that? And every time there was a conflict of wills, he always deferred. In the volume of the book it is written, I came Here it is again, to do thy will, O God. Can you say, man, the devil showed him the kingdoms of this world. He said, you can keep them. I only serve him. Can you say, man? The devil said, your flesh is crying out for food. Turn the stones to bread. He said, man don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah! Wow. That kind of commitment brings awesome power, and the paradigm of power shifts. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to close in just a moment. Just get over here and something to quit off on. Something sweet to quit off on. Praise God. My great-grandmother never let us have a meal without dessert. Until Jesus came, the power was on the devil's side. The oppressor held all the power. Can you say amen? Until Jesus came, but the paradigm of power has shifted tonight. Hallelujah. If the church will be challenged to devote to Christ and to always defer to Him and to begin to pray, not my will but thine be done. Hallelujah. The power of God's going to show up in our lives. The power of God's going to show up in our churches. Christianity is going to have a distinctiveness that we are not, amen, as gullible and as subject to temptation as the world is. We have victory in Jesus. How many believe we need that victory tonight? In the calling of the Gentiles to salvation, I want to read verse 11 in closing of chapter 54 of the book of Isaiah. This is God's call to the Gentiles, and because they're not part of the covenant people, and they're oppressed, and there is no comforter. The paradigm of power hasn't shifted, but God loves them, and He wants to bless all the nations that are under Satan's boot heel, not just Israel. It began with Israel, but not to stop with Israel. Can you say amen? So if you do the homework on this, you're going to find this is the calling. In some Bibles, it'll actually say the calling of the Gentiles. And listen to what He says. Aren't you glad He called us Gentile into the covenant so we can not just be the oppressed anymore? That power paradigm can shift. God with us like God was with them shifts the power. Amen. And we're not to be oppressed. Jesus healed who? Those that were oppressed by the devil. He had authority. He had His way through that authority. But the paradigm of power has changed. Say it with me. The paradigm of power has changed. Praise God. If you don't know paradigm, look it up when you get home. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphire. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. Everybody say far from oppression. I don't know if you know it or not, but you just stepped out on shouting ground. Whether you shout or not, you're standing on shouting ground. Can you say amen? You may be too tired to shout tonight. We'll save it for another night, but don't lose it. Can you say amen? Listen to me. This is shouting ground. Thou shalt be what? Far from oppression. Everybody say the paradigm has shifted. Something's changed, hadn't it? Praise God. These people oppressed had no power with them. The power was with the oppressor. But now the change has come. Hallelujah. Because you got right with God. You came into a covenant and God is for you. Gave you the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, the battle partner, so you could win this thing. Because you're not on your own. For thou shalt not fear. Isn't that amazing? Satan's grand weapon against you is broken. Thou shalt not fear. And from terror, from it shall not come near thee. You will never be panic stricken. Sometimes you won't always know what to do. Daniel Boone was asked one time by a journalist because he trailblazed through the Appalachian Trail. He said, have you ever been lost in the wilderness? He said, no, but I was bewildered for 3 days. I think that's a pretty good answer. Can you say amen? In other words, I didn't know where I was. Amen. I was just bewildered. I didn't know which way hardly to go. But he found his way. Listen to this. Amen. Terror will be far from thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together. You're going to have enemies, but not by me. I'm not going to send them. And whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fail for thy sake. Everybody say the paradigm of power has shifted. Amen. They're going to come against you. He's not going to keep them from coming against you, but he's going to stand with you and for you. And the paradigm of power has shifted. Can you say amen? Oh, you're on shouting ground. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said it's shifted tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I said that thing is shifted tonight. Praise God. We're not oppressed by the devil anymore. We've got victory in Jesus. We can overcome the flesh. We will overcome the world. We have overcome the devil. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. Behold, I created the smith that bloweth, the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I've created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is impeccable, for their righteousness is of me, saith God. Can you say, man, Abraham believed God and God put it to his account as righteousness. Don't go up against him because you can't defeat him. Somebody give God praise. The paradigm has shifted tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and give God a holy hallelujah before we leave tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want you to pray that giant song again. We've all failed and come short, but God is in our corner and there's victory in Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'll think of it in a minute. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He won't give up on me. Hallelujah. He didn't. He hasn't. Praise God. If you can find it. If not, take your choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people want to live in a victory that overcomes the flesh, that defeats the culture, hallelujah, that absolutely causes the devil to be robbed of the weaponry that he's so effective with against us? He needs our cooperation. He doesn't have God's authority over any of us. He has to solicit us to tempt us. He has to appeal to that part of our flesh that is not crucified with Christ. And we need to get to the point, Terry, where we reckon ourselves to be dead. It's a mathematical term. Amen. The flesh is there. I know it's there. I do not deny its existence. When I reckon myself to be dead to that is when I count that, count myself as a dead man to that. I feel it, but I owe no obligation or allegiance to it. I can choose to follow Christ. I can choose to obey God. I can choose not to kick over tubs. Because if I get justified in kicking over tubs, it won't be long until I want to kick somebody between the pockets. Nobody here, of course. But I'm honest. You can't let temper go. You can't just let your flesh do its thing and not reprimand it and put it back on the cross. I've heard people, I had a lady in church, and she's with the Lord now, so don't try to think who it is. A whole lot of ladies within our church is with the Lord. She said, I called them up. She was so proud of herself. I called them up, and I gave them a piece of my mind. And I thought, oh, Lord God in heaven, dear Lord in heaven, because I knew a lot about that lady's mind. Amen. I was so tempted to say, please don't give away any more. There's probably not much left at this point. You've given away so many pieces of your mind. And she was so proud of her anger and her angst and so proud of just laying somebody out. Don't ever be proud of that. Be proud, not in the wrong sense, but in the right sense, when you want to, but you don't, and say, that's one for Jesus today. Thank you, Jesus. We won this thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You helped me today. Hallelujah. I've been so discouraged, I would have quit ministering hundreds of times in almost 37 years. I've been to an end of myself so many times if it wasn't for a battle partner to help me. I wept today. I saw a man who was a medic. And medics are someone else that didn't get medals of honor for a long time until they recognized what they actually did. And those men said, man, if you want to pin a medal on somebody, don't pick a John Wayne character out here in so many words. Pick a medic who will go out. A man is hidden down, and everybody else is way back here behind something to provide a little bit of protection in a firefight. And those bullets whizzing from machine guns and rifles and grenades. And what does a medic do? He goes out there, he grabs this guy that can't move. He gets hit himself and is wounded, but he keeps on dragging that guy back. His job is to go right out in the thick of it and get somebody that's wounded, bring them back and dress their wounds and try to save their life. Honey, I have been wounded in battle again and again. And the Holy Spirit, if anybody gets a medal when this thing is over, Holy Spirit's going to get the medal. Jesus is going to get the crown, but the Holy Ghost is going to get the medal. The medal of honor is his. Because if he hadn't drugged me back and dressed my wounds, I could not stand here tonight and talk to you about victory. But the reason I can do it is because I've been right down in those pits of despair and defeat. But he came. He's my battle partner. He's never left me. And he will never forsake me. And he will never forsake you. Can you say amen? Are you kind of geared up a little bit for victory tonight? Amen. Praise God. Do you understand suffering in the flesh is not the poor old me's and getting a fatalistic attitude? It's just making up your mind to follow Jesus in spite of yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's let this song speak to us tonight, because we've all come short at some point, and we need God to shore us up. Let's just love him, be honest with him, let him help us tonight. Holy Spirit is here to help us.